All political thinking for years past has been vitiated in the same way. People can foresee the future only when it coincides with their own wishes, and the most grossly obvious facts can be ignored when they are unwelcome. And this week's opening quote comes from George Orwell. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. You know, with all of the things that I've been addressing on air lately, and we've got so many things to deal with, there's so many events happening, so many situations erupting around the world which affect us on the macro scale. But with all of it, one of the most important things, or I think the most important issue that we have to deal with at the moment, is the rollout of the 5G and IoT surveillance system, which is coming online very, very rapidly in all of our communities. 5G is being brought to the world under the guise of rapid communication, but what it really is, the main function of the 5G system is as a weapons and surveillance system. This is military-grade technology that has been trialed and tested very, very often in wartime situations for the last 10 to 15 years. The rollout of this technology will be accompanied by the rollout of smart cities and mass surveillance systems to go with them, along with a social crediting system and virtual fences and reward points and the loss of points for good or bad behavior, dependent upon what people are doing with their time, depending on whether they're obeying the government rules or whether they're not, and also dependent upon what they're doing online, what apps they're using, where they're using these apps, what they're doing with these apps, what they're watching on YouTube, what they're posting on Facebook, what they're using social media for. All of this stuff will either accredit or detract points according to people's behavior. And all of this will be determined by algorithms. And this is what the IoT is. It isn't a system that is creating convenience for people. It's a system of complete blanket surveillance on every conceivable level that is possible. But the other very dangerous thing about this system is that, as I said, it's also a weapons system. 5G is the carrier wave for any type of electromagnetic warfare you can think of, be it microwave cannons, be it mind control, be it inducing cancer in people, be it inducing Alzheimer's, be it inducing sickness or well-being in targeted areas of population. All of this is possible with the 5G system, and all of this creates a great concern for what the politicians may have in mind for the populations who are going to be subject to these type of frequencies and this type of system. Now, what they're doing with this 5G system, folks, with all these poles they're rolling out and all of these LED lampposts and all of these things they're rolling out, is they're actually rolling out prison fences around our communities. Electromagnetic prison fences that people will trigger them if they're crossed simply by the mobile phone that they're carrying, the smartphone and what apps they're using, because it'll be the phone that is awarded point scores. We've already seen this happening in Apple phones. Last year this started happening. Apple made an announcement they were going to start awarding people's devices point scores. And I said to you, where do you think this is going to go, folks? You think it's the device that's going to be barred from going places? No, it's going to be the user of the device that the points apply to. And this is what they're rolling out now. And some questions I get in regard to this as well are that, well, if the 5G frequency is so dangerous, why would the politicians be putting it in place? Because aren't they going to be subject to these frequencies as well? Well, yes and no, folks, because all of these 5G poles actually carry a very short distance. The millimeter wave doesn't travel very far. It's a very direct wave, and it's such a short bandwidth of 1 millimeter that it can't travel very far. So this is why they're putting in posts every 400 meters or so to carry the signal. But the thing is, you know, when looking at all of this and seeing all of this coming down the pike and realizing this is where they're leading us, it becomes very, very apparent that two things that are integral for this system to come online, the whole IoT ultra surveillance smart system they want to roll out, two things that are integral are the 5G carrier wave, because they're going to need that type of bandwidth. And not only bandwidth, but they're also going to want that type of control, the type of weapons system that 5G is. So that is one thing that is absolutely integral for this to work for them. And smartphones and smart devices. It is imperative that people carry around smart devices for the system to work, for the whole IoT or smart grid or social crediting system to work at all. People have to have smart devices. because without the smart devices, they can't be tracked and they can't be identified. And neither can their activities online be tracked and identified without smart devices. Well, not as easily, anyway. You know, as I mentioned to you, I think it was last week, your cell phone actually tracks you in so many ways. It isn't just GPS. It isn't just monitoring your conversations. It also contains a barometer so it can measure air pressure. So it knows when you get in and out of a vehicle. It knows when you go up and down stairs. It knows when there are other people in the room. It knows what stores you're going into. It knows what you're doing in every moment of the day. They send out signals about every 15 seconds or once or twice a minute or something anyway, just as a GPS tracking locator. And if your smartphone knows the starting point of your journey and the end point of your journey, it can tell exactly where you went on your journey, how many times you stopped, where you got out of your car, what shops you went into, who you spoke to, what you buy, everything. And all of this data is collected and correlated for later examination if needed. And when would that need arise? Well, that need may arise as soon as someone pulls you over and wants to see your car license or whatever. Soon you won't be giving them your license. Soon a cop will pull you over and ask to see your smartphone. And that is the sort of mass surveillance society that people are moving into, and they don't seem to realize that it's happening. But soon all of people's data and their entire life will be instantly accessible to anybody who wants to have a look at it. And if they didn't have these smart devices and weren't carrying them around with them, all their information certainly wouldn't be stored in one place on the cloud and be easily accessible to anybody who wished to stop them and look at their papers, in inverted commas. Only these will no longer be papers, these will be virtual papers. And what these papers will contain will be not just your ID, but a complete log of every activity you have performed in the last 7 years. At least the last 7 years, anyway, possibly even longer. And of course, depending on how old you are and how long you've had the device. And what these devices are, essentially, it's like everybody is carrying around their own ankle bracelet within the smart prison. Actually, if you don't want to carry a device, you can actually buy your own bracelet and wear a bracelet. Of course, they make you pay for your bracelet. But really, that's what it is. It's a surveillance tracking system you can wear on your wrist or on your ankle. And it's simply a surveillance bracelet. It's a surveillance tracking mechanism. That's what all of this is, ladies and gentlemen. And think about it. It's the smart system. And of course, you will eventually be issued with an ID for the IoT. And it'll be interesting to see the way they present these things. No doubt it will be a card. It'll be interesting to see the way they put the wording, whether it will be shown on the card as the IoT ID, or whether it will simply have a big ID with IoT after it and tell you what they really think of you. It's interesting, you know, when you look at it, the smart system, and then you get the idiot card to access the smart system, because, of course, you're just an idiot for going along with this whole idea to begin with. And they always have love to tell us what they're doing and put it right in our face. You know, it really is interesting how far they can put it in people's face and people still don't seem to notice it. You know, a lot of people just can't believe this sort of reality would be possible. But this is indeed where it's going, ladies and gentlemen, and it's very obvious that this is where it's going. They're actually telling us this is where it's going themselves now. There's been people like me telling you this for years, but now the powers that believe they be are telling you themselves that this is where it's going. The question is it inevitable? Do we need to roll into this smart grid? And that will depend upon the people themselves, because it depends on whether people choose to participate. And that's the question people need to ask themselves, because as I said, this can't work if people put down their smartphones. It can't work if we stand up against 5G and the IoT. Even if they want to roll out the IoT, if we don't shop at those stores to begin with, well, they're not going to really work, are they? They're not going to be able to roll it out everywhere else because we'll just stop shopping at these places. The decision is with us, and it's always been with us. This is why I've always said mass arrests and things aren't going to work. I mean, as much as I'd love to see all the politicians arrested, and hey, look, I'm all for it. If there's a way that we could do that, you know, if there's a way to infiltrate the system and take action from within, create a political party, undermine the system in that way, if there's something we could do and arrest all these criminals and hold them responsible and accountable for their actions, I'm all for it and I support it completely. The question is, where can we do that? How can we do that? Because all the judges are compromised, the entire legal system is compromised. And even if we do that, which has been my argument from the beginning, even if we do arrest everybody and put them all in jail, well, what do we do then? Because if we haven't changed our moral compass, And we continue to believe that that's all it's going to take is just arresting the offending politicians and putting them somewhere dark for a while. Well, we've already lost because that's not going to change anything. You know, it isn't even the politicians that are propelling this IoT, this Internet of Things. It's gotten to the point now where we are propelling it ourselves via our participation in this smart technology. Our want for all this convenience, our want for all these personal assistants and social media connections and all the stuff we do, our want for everything to be instantaneously at our fingertips rather than having to go through life and actually learn any lessons along the way. That's what's propelling this more than anything. So, as I said, folks, even if we do arrest all the offending politicians at the moment, which I'm all for if we could do it and there was a way to actually see it through, it's not going to work if we just put more people in place and haven't changed our moral compass and continue to support this smart grid. Because the smart grid itself is the problem. And it doesn't matter what sort of people you have in a situation of government. If we've still got this whole mass surveillance system over the top of us, which is all being run by AI, then how's it going to work anyway? It's not going to work no matter who's there if we allow this whole AI smart grid to come online. Because once the AI controls it, as I said, folks, it's a weapons system. And we're handing over lethal autonomy to an artificial intelligence, which is going to judge people by their social credit points. And that doesn't seem like a very smart thing to do under any type of circumstance. So then you've got to get back to the question, well, who's really in charge here? Who's really running this whole show? Because even the politicians are going to end up falling to the whim of this system. It'll end up controlling everybody and every aspect of human life. So who benefits from this? Because there's no one in the human race that seems to benefit from it. I mean, they may to a certain degree until it gets to a certain point, but once it gets to a certain point and becomes fully autonomic on its own, then everybody is going to be held under the same yoke. Eventually, rich or poor, government or non-government, worker or ruler, everyone will be subject to the same AI social crediting system. And once it's all up and running, the entire human experience will be run as a tightly knit and efficient machine. Those who do not serve the system will be discarded. This could easily be done through many of the things that I've outlined in the earlier part of the show. You know, the AI could just determine that this section of the population is not useful and therefore they should be subject to some sort of frequency, which is going to make them all sick and die. It could be easily done. And sure, look, that's something like a worst-case scenario, and many people may look at that and think, oh, that's just science fiction, but the point is that it's not science fiction. They can do this. They've even admitted to doing this. They've even admitted to microwaving people in Ireland, microwaving protesters in England, which causes sickness in them, causes them to go away, go home, and they get sick and get thyroid problems and all sorts of stuff later, so it gets rid of these people out of the community, and the governments have admitted to doing this. But as they eliminate more and more things that we're used to having, they eliminate things such as maps and ease of access to places, and they eliminate things such as landlines, which they're talking about as well. You know, if you are completely dependent upon a cell phone and completely dependent upon 5G to access the world around you and get any communication with anybody, well, what happens if you get locked out of the system? If you haven't got a landline and you can't call anybody and let them know that you're in trouble, well, you just have to wander around, possibly even outside curfew, and you end up getting picked up and you just disappear into the smart prison system and nobody's the wiser. And this is how they can deal with dissidents. But again, you know, they don't even need to, because with the 5G system, it's a weapons system, you can juice anything you want into the community because you have the carrier waves to do it. And microwave weapons and electromagnetic weapons are very insidious because they're weapons that are used against people and they're weapons you can't see. You don't know they're being used against you. You can't feel them. You just suddenly start getting sick, or you start getting headaches, or you start getting memory losses, or all sorts of problems can develop. There are so many possibilities with this system, and that is the point, and that is why it is so dangerous for the people to allow this whole 5G grid to be rolled out over the top of us. I mean, like I said, people can simply be locked out individually. People can be locked out through social crediting. People could be microwaved at any particular point. They could create isolated areas of the community that are subject to certain control mechanisms or even certain experiments. Or could create open prison systems in certain parts of the community where it creates barriers that people can't cross. I mean, there's all sorts of options for this system, folks. And once it gets into a point where it's fully AI controlled, then where does the human experience fit into all of this? Now, where does spiritual growth fit into it? Where does compassion fit into it? Where does the creation of free expression or art or genius fit into this? You know, nothing that determines what it is to be a human fits in with this whole smart social credit system. It really doesn't, ladies and gentlemen. You know, what we're seeing here is an open electromagnetic prison based on a weapons-grade technology which is being put in place blanket across our societies, and it is so important that people pay attention to what is happening here. You know, with all the stuff that we're researching, all the rabbit holes we're going down, I mean, even the stuff that I've looked at with Tartarian, establishing that there has been lost cultures that have existed here, the evidence that would suggest this cycle happens quite frequently and quite often, and we're simply at the end of another cycle. We're getting close to the end of another cycle anyway. As I was saying last week, the stories of scrying mirrors and what happens at the end of the cycle and how we bring about our own cull by our participation in this smart system. That's what's happening, ladies and gentlemen. It's happening right before our eyes, but we can still nip it in the bud if we can bring enough attention to it. You know, ultimately what we need is to find some way of helping people reconnect with their humanity. That's what is really the problem here when it all is said and done. That's the basis of the whole problem. That's why it won't matter arresting people and putting them in jail or whatever. If we haven't got back in touch with our humanity and we simply allow more rulers to get up and replace the ones that we arrest, well, we haven't done anything to address this whole IoT and smart system. So we need to put the whole thing on the same stage, ladies and gentlemen, and address the whole thing as one issue. The question is, of course, how to do that. How do you unite the people? It's so difficult to unite people, ladies and gentlemen. It's just, and it's becoming more and more difficult. You know, no matter how much I try, it is just so difficult to get people to put their differences down with each other, agree to disagree without calling each other government agents and shills, and address the actual problem that we're facing. And it is so important that we get some focus on this. And we need to approach it from every level possible, from every direction possible, even from the legal means that we've got available to us, even though the legal system's fiction. I mean, we can still use parts of it. I mentioned last week I'm attempting to have the barrister that's mounting the 5G action in Australia on the show. I have emailed him. He has emailed me back. We're trying to put it together, but it's just difficult for him to find the time at the moment. But we will get around to it, and it won't be too long. And I will have this man on the show to clear up some of the many questions people have regarding taking action on the 5G initiative, which is what we really need to do. So I am working on that, folks. Do bear with me. It's just taking a little time. He's traveling around Australia at the moment, helping people man action groups all over the country, and I'm sure that he's receiving a literal plethora of emails from interested people. So it's just going to determine when we can both put an hour aside at the same time to get some sort of an interview conducted, but I will get back to you on that. And it won't be too long, as I said. I will get it to you as quickly as I'm able. But even with that, you know, it's not just this type of action. We've got to raise public awareness of these issues as well. So anything you can think of to do that is also a good thing. If you go to my website, thecrowhouse.com, and you scroll down to just above the headlines, I think, it might be just below the headlines, but somewhere on that page near the headlines, you will see a link that says 5G actions for parents and schools. And that is a link which contains all sorts of printable data that you can use to go ahead and do letterbox drops and raise awareness in your community. So there are all sorts of actions you can take. You can alert your politicians to the fact that you're disgruntled about this. But even with this, you've got to be very careful because there's new laws that have come in, of course, for fixated persons. These are people who continually write letters to politicians and say, look, I'm worried about this particular topic. Now, if you question the actions of politicians too often in letter form, you will be classed as a fixated person, and they will come and grab you and put you up for a psychiatric evaluation. That's what they're doing, folks. So they're finding ways around all sorts of things. You know, you can't question anything anymore, folks. You may be obsessed with something and a danger to the community and a possible terrorist. Never mind the fact that government is terrorizing and murdering people left, right, and center, taking our rights away, poisoning us with vaccines and electromagnetic pollution. If you question it more than once, you may be a fixated person and someone who is a danger to the community. Isn't it wonderful how backwards they can actually put things? And people still believe it. That's the fascinating part, is no matter how backwards they put it, so many people out there in the general public just simply seem to swallow it anyway. You've really got to wonder whether some of these people have functioning ears and eyes. The question of whether they have functioning brains is, of course, another one, and it would appear that, well, perhaps they don't. Well, not on a level that would be seen as genuine human function anyway. Certainly not 100% coherence, that's for sure. But that doesn't really matter either when it all comes down to it, folks, because we don't really need everybody to wake up. We need the people who are awake to get a little bit of focus and put their energy in the right direction. And not get misdirected. There's so much misdirection in the so-called truth movement. And we need to get some focus on the real issues and what we can do about these real issues. And that's what I've been attempting to do on this show for so many years. And that's what I'm attempting to suggest on the show today. And I think 5G is something that can do it because so many people are concerned about this. I mean, I'm hearing more and more about it in the community where I live. A lot of people are concerned about the health aspects of 5G. And a lot of people are becoming aware that it is actually a weapons system as well. It's just that people don't believe they can do anything about it because they still believe they're constrained by legislation and constrained by what politicians write on paper. And they forget the common point of what the legal system was constructed for, which is what I've said so many times, to prevent the causation of harm and to provide remedy when harm is caused. But now the legal system itself is being used by the politicians to inflict harm upon their population. So it would appear that there is no real law, folks. It would appear that nothing they write on paper actually means anything anyway, because it doesn't apply to them. Well, it certainly doesn't appear to. And they seem to be able to use it against us at every opportunity. So, you know, if we could get some focus and some unity, and as I've said so many times, just agree to disagree, please. It doesn't matter about all these small details of things. Just agree to disagree and look at what we can prove, what we can't prove. Look at the real evidence we have that we can use to our benefit. And let's all rise up against this system and just say, look, enough is enough. Sorry, guys, we've decided we're going to go in another direction now. It really would be that simple, ladies and gentlemen, which is something that does frustrate me, I must admit, because, you know, the prison is such a complex prison, but the remedy to escape the prison is not really complex at all, because no matter how complex this prison is, it still requires our compliance. And with the smart prism that's rolling out, it requires us to use it. It requires us to buy these devices, to use these devices to go shopping, to use all the cashless systems they're putting in place to allow ourselves to be tracked and our data collected and everything we do. You know, the decision is with us and it's always been with us. Hopefully people will start to see it for what it is very soon. I'm sure there's many people who can already, but hopefully people out there in the general population will start to see it for what it is and they'll start putting these devices down. And again, I cannot urge you enough to put down your smartphone. Throw these devices away. And for those people out there who say, look, I wouldn't be able to watch your show if I didn't have a smartphone. Well, the money you spend on a smartphone, you could spend on a computer that you could set up at home, and you could have a computer at home, and you can have a flip-top phone so you can be in contact and stay in touch when you're out with people, and you can just jump on the computer when you get home and do it that way. You don't need to be carrying this tracking surveillance device around with you. You don't need to be voluntarily buying your own ankle bracelet for the prison that they're constructing around you, and you don't even need to let them finish constructing it, because they're not going to be able to construct it if you choose not to use their devices. That's where the solution is, folks, and that's why it's so hard for anyone to offer a way out of this system. You know, for all the people that write to me and ask me for remedy and ask me what I can do, what I can suggest, that's the first thing I suggest. Put down your smartphone. It's something I've been suggesting for years upon years. A lot of people are having trouble with it, but that's the way out, folks. If we're not prepared to do that, then nothing else is going to work. I actually have been getting a lot of emails from people asking me to put them on my mailing list as well. And, folks, I actually don't have a mailing list on the Crow House. The Crow House is an old HTML website. I kind of learned a little bit of basic HTML, and I built the website myself, and I continue to maintain it myself, but I simply don't know how to construct a mailing list. I don't know what that piece of coding is, and I have no idea how to put anything like that together. I don't even know how to create an at the Crow House website address for myself, you know, max@thecrowhouse.com, anything. I don't even know how to do that. So it's very difficult for me to put a mailing list together for anybody. I simply don't have the skill with code to be able to do that. I'm not really a codey person, folks. I'm not really someone who is that computer savvy when it comes to the basics of website building and HTML coding and all that sort of stuff. Now, I like messing around and making graphics and stuff, but, you know, even with that, I mean, I don't know the really good stuff. I only know the bits that I've taught myself, and I only know how to do so much, and it's the same with internet. I mean, I don't really know how to do any of this sort of coding or programming sort of stuff that many people probably take for granted. I'm just not that sort of tech savvy, so Sorry I can't put you on my mailing list, but I do appreciate the people that are asking. It is a nice thought. It would be nice if I could. And maybe one day I'll be able to work it out. You never know. It's getting the time to do that sort of thing, folks. I don't have too much time to even update the website these days. I've just been way too busy with all of this stuff happening. My channel has still been fully under attack since I reported on the Christchurch shooting. Now people are having a great amount of difficulty downloading my podcasts via the podcast app. I've received email reports from people who are also having a great difficulty accessing my YouTube channel. It seems to be shadow banned all over the place. Many people are having their browsers crash when they go to my channel, that sort of thing. YouTube is also messing with my view count. They always love to do this. I noticed on the first night that I uploaded the clip, the first day, it got 28,000 views on the first day, and then when I got up on the next morning, it had dropped 5,000 views overnight down to 23,000 views, and it's taken almost a week to just climb back up to 29,000, so they're definitely messing with the view count on the video. And of course, I'm getting the usual amount of trolls. In fact, the trolls have actually doubled or tripled on my channel since I started reporting my findings on the Christchurch shooter's video. So it seems that I'm definitely over the target because I'm getting an enormous amount of flack. My channel, as you probably know, was given a strike a couple of months ago, and they told me I wouldn't be able to upload for 3 months, but then for some reason I found that I was able to upload again in 2 weeks, even though I still have the strike against my channel. And all this very strange stuff has been going on. So it's been very interesting to watch all this go down, folks. Another thing that I noticed, which I found quite interesting, was that last week when I uploaded the radio show, I'd finished the show early, I uploaded it to YouTube 4 hours early, and I left it sitting there unlisted. And by the time I went to make it live, it had already had 24 views, and that was when the video was sitting there unlisted, and there was no link posted for it anywhere. So I would say there's certainly some interested parties watching my channel at the moment and doing what they can to monitor it or mess with it or something. I mean, there's certainly strange things going on with my YouTube channel and, as I said, also with the podcasts that are being uploaded to iTunes. These podcasts are being uploaded by somebody else, so I'm not quite familiar with what is involved in all of that, but I have received numerous emails from people saying that they are unable to download the podcast, and apparently I'm the only one they're having that problem with, so that's interesting as well. But I think we've reached break time here, folks. I'll leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll be back to speak to you again in a few minutes. Don't go away, because I've got plenty more to come. And welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, so in looking at this whole AI grid, this whole AI system, and really what this technological world we're being led into is, what we're really seeing here is a mirror image of the real world, an avatar, a virtual human, which is a mirror image of what it means to be a real human. This is why it's so alien to us. I mean, it's so natural to us in some ways, but it's so alien to what we are in so many others. And if you think about the human experience, you know, and you think about, you can even go back to what I was talking about over so many shows when I've been talking about free energy and Tartaria and all this sort of stuff, even the concept of free energy, the whole concept of what people would call Tesla power or whatever you want to call it, you know, the ethereal energy that is all around us that we somehow used to harness. I mean, people like Tesla used to harness, if Tesla was even who they say he was and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's another story, but this ethereal energy, this natural energy that creates all of reality, the energy that we are made of. It's a very natural thing. It's very symbiotic to us. And everything is made of this. And it's a creative type of a force. But when you look at what we use to create energy, to create electricity, we use combustion, we use explosion, we use all sorts of destructive forces and what are essentially anti-life forces in order to create power, in order to create energy. So it's kind of a mirror opposite of the type of natural energy we should be using. When you look at the societies that we've created, the cities that we created, these are kind of like a mirror opposite of the jungles, of the forests, of the fields and the grasses. When you look at the AI system, you look at the tech that we're using, the personal assistants we use, this is a mirror opposite of what real human behavior and real human interaction is. And when you see what this AI system is, it's basically creating a mirror world, a virtual world, which is a mirror opposite of everything that is natural. Now, but everything is a mirror of what it should be. Even the freedom you get within the virtual world is a mirror of the real freedom you get in the natural world, because you need to sacrifice the freedom you have in the natural world in order to obtain freedom in the virtual world. Through social crediting, this is going to become more and more prominent, whereby the virtual world is going to become more of a life to you than the real world. And if you don't behave in the way you're supposed to in the real world, you'll be locked out of the virtual world, and therefore you'll be locked out of your life. But it isn't a real life. It's a virtual life. It's a mirror of the life that you should be living. And that's what this virtual world is, folks. That's what's being created. It's a mirror world of the real world. And the only thing this world lacks in order to come online, in order to come into being and to become a life of its own, is the energy that we give it. It lacks our consciousness. It needs our consciousness to enter that world in order to give it life, to give it substance, to give it any value at all. And the more we enter into that virtual world, the less we pay attention to the real world around us. And so the real world around us deteriorates and becomes a wasteland. And not just a wasteland environmentally, but also a wasteland legally, a wasteland in as far as human rights, a wasteland in as far as any real value or substance in people that actually exists in the real world that isn't married to their online persona. And this is what is happening, folks. We are losing contact with the natural world and the freedom and abundance that is all around us due to our non-participation in the physical environment that our physical bodies live in. You know, we're not too concerned about our physical bodies that much anymore. We're more concerned with the information we can get into our consciousness via virtual sources. But what are these virtual sources where people are getting their information? I mean, Google. What do you get from Google these days? They're tailoring and filtering your searches. And even looking at this, folks, when you think about how this works, now, they tailor your searches depending on what you've searched for before. This is what Google says it's trying to do to help you, to make sure that you find the stuff you're looking for. What it's doing is filtering your results depending on what it thinks your preferences are, which is determined by what you've searched for before. So if you've searched for completely different things than your neighbor next door for all of the previous searches you've done on Google, and then suddenly some news article comes up and you both search for the same news article, you very likely get different results depending on what your political preferences are, depending on what your belief system is. And Google has already figured out what your belief system is by looking at it and comparing it to what you've searched for before. So you can look at a news article and read a completely different story to the one that your neighbors read and get a completely different opinion from a completely different reporter, and then talk about the same article and wonder why you're at loggerheads and fighting over it, because you've both read about the same article. So how could you have such vastly different opinions? And it's because Google has been tailoring your search results. So how do you know what you're getting is real information anyway? And when you think about what they've done just in the mainstream world of academics and literature, how the books have been rewritten and rewritten, and the old books always get burnt, and we always seem to lose the old information. We get information that's been replaced by an updated version, which they now call historically correct and updated for historical accuracy and all that sort of stuff. What they're telling you is that they've changed it. They've changed what was said in the book, and they've made it fit their own political agenda. That's what they do when they make things so-called historically accurate, ladies and gentlemen. And they've done this by rewriting books and burning libraries over the years, over the centuries. But now they don't even have to do that. Now they can do it online. Now they can create things like Wikipedia. They can just go in and edit the page, and there you go. Now it's different information today than what it was yesterday. And they can do this with online books. They can do this with PDF files. Everything can be edited. Everything can be changed. So all of the information that we're getting, how do we know any of it is true? And really, if you want to come down to it, folks, as I've said so many times, all you can really confirm to be true is that which you have experienced yourself. And all we can really confirm to be true about history is that which exists within living memory. And that is the sad fact of the matter. And that's why it's so difficult to find a way out of this mess when looking to these sources for any type of answers. You know, the best answer you can get really will be the answer you can find within your heart. And that's what people don't do. You know, they don't look within their hearts and simply pay attention to what's happening around them. And think about it. If people were to put down all of these books that they get from the past and all of this stuff and all this information they get from external sources and simply look around them at the state of the world, look at how people are suffering, look at how they're divided from their neighbors. Look at how they're forced to pay to be alive. Look at how everything is created to put us in a state of hardship and to create rules to make us walk between the lines. Why is all this here, and what does it all mean? How does it serve us? You know, bad things are happening in the world because governments are doing these things and we are allowing them to do it. And it isn't just happening on the macro scale and as far as wars and things. It's happening in our own community. You know, we've got communities whereby legislation has been introduced which prevents us helping homeless people and helping poor people. Legislation which causes us to step inside the lines all the time and to disregard people around us very often. You know, social programming that causes us to disregard people. All of these sorts of things that have been superimposed over what it means to be a human. And really, I firmly believe that all it would take to change the world would be for people to just pause for a few minutes and look around them and really take stock of what their surroundings really are. Because if people were to do this, you know, once the reality of their surroundings really sunk in, well, the most obvious question they're going to ask from that point is, why are we doing this? And really, folks, the only reason that we are is because we've been trained to. And we are often too scared to step outside of our training for fear of what others may think if we step outside the lines or question authority too loudly. People are quite literally scared to be themselves. You know, mind control, folks. You know, we think it's coming. Well, it's actually here, folks. And I would say that even though it was in place before, it has had a pretty good hold over human consciousness ever since the invention of television. I mean, television has been a huge influence over the minds of people for the last 60 or 70 years, and it's gotten worse now because television used to just train people what to think. But now with the smart grid and all of the surveillance that's coming out, it's causing people to be programmed in not only what to think, but also how to think and also what they should think. And it's creating a situation where people are too scared to think for themselves. And the kids that are growing up through this whole system simply aren't going to have any reference point for what freedom or freedom of expression or free thought or any of this stuff is. That's the danger that we're facing. You know, and you imagine what it would be like to be a child growing up through this and being completely dependent upon this tech for your whole life. And then when you get to a point where if you think outside the box, they lock you out, suddenly you're locked out of your life because that is what life is for these young kids growing up. That's the freaky part, folks. And the amount of control this exerts over the human experience is profound. It really is. This prevents anybody from ever thinking outside the box or questioning their surroundings at all. This is a very, very dangerous future we're allowing to be created, folks. And it's a future that is not going to resemble anything like humanity at all. I mean, how can you ever have freedom of expression? How can you ever have real art be created? How can you ever have real genius be expressed? How can you ever find the beauty and the unique genius of each child and nurture that so it grows into something wonderful and that child can express themselves and be all that they can be? How can you ever have any of that within a system which controls the way you think, the way you look, the way you act, and gives you points and merit points according to your coherence and obedience to government guidelines? I mean, this is simply not any future at all, ladies and gentlemen. But it's coming, and it's going to come if we don't say something about it. You know, and that's why I do these shows and present this information to you, simply because I want people to question. I want people to start raising their voices and making their voices heard, because if people don't do this, we're just going to be led into this, and there's not going to be anything we can do about it. And that's what I mean when looking at all of the legal or political solutions that we think we have. You know, mass arrests, go and arrest all the bad people and put them in jail. Hey, great, I'm all for it, but where do we go from there? You know, create a new political party and replace the governments with a new political party. But again, where do we go from there? If this smart grid is continuing to roll out, then it's the AI that's going to be in control of everything anyway. It's not going to be any political party. The political parties will just be there as figureheads and in name only, because it's going to be the AI that dictates what people do and what people have access to. And in that sort of a situation, it doesn't matter who the political party is. You know, we need to address the situation that we're in and what this AI is doing. And that's what I mean. You know, it doesn't matter about constructing another system. If we just change the way we interact with people, then the system has to change around us. All we have to do is inject some humanity into the equation. And stop looking at things economically, stop looking at things politically, stop looking at things technologically, and look at things from a human perspective. You know, this has been the problem right from the onset. the lack of humanity, the way we're being led away from our humanity. That's why, you know, when you look at this in all of its aspects, when you really get down to the deepest part of it, what we're facing here is a spiritual battle. And it's always been a spiritual battle. It's the difference between right and wrong in all that we do. Our willingness to step outside our moral compass to comply with legislation and our need to be right in everything that we think we do. This has been the big problem in the so-called truth movement is everybody's need to be right in everything that they're doing and saying. There's no open discussion anymore. Even with what I tried to do with the Christchurch shooting, I was simply asking questions about why some of the claims were being made because they're not supported by the video and pointing out real evidence, and it couldn't even be discussed by people. They weren't even open to discuss it. It just turned into a big screaming match of calling people shills because they don't agree with you. This is what the so-called truth movement has degraded to. It's got to a point where everybody has belief systems and they're stuck in them. Even people who are claiming they don't have belief systems. I mean, I've said so many shows, belief is the enemy of knowledge. If you go into looking at any event with a belief system attached to it, and you go in there expecting something to be true or expecting to find something, well, you're going to find evidence to support it. Confirmation bias. And that is no way to research anything. And people go in looking at these events and they want to be right. They desperately want to be right. I just go in looking at them and I just want the truth. I don't need to be right on anything that I say or do. I just want the truth. I want the truth to reveal itself so we can all become free. Because that's what this is about. That's what this whole exercise is about. It's about establishing human freedom, and that's only going to happen when people realize the validity of themselves. The moment they do that, the moment people really come into their own personal power, the moment they can respect themselves enough and love themselves enough to respect other people and to allow other people to think differently, the moment they can put their egos aside long enough to do that, put their programming aside, then that's it. The world changes at that point. We don't need any legal action. We don't need any military action. We don't need anything like that. All we need is for people to wake up to what they are. Yeah, and that's what I've been attempting to do since the very beginning on this radio show. Just help people see the power that is within them and help them see that what actually constrains them is a fiction. It's a belief. It's a meme. And with all the stuff that we're looking at, all of the research that we're doing, even with all the ancient history stuff, all the stuff I've been looking at, we can't determine what is true and what isn't. Everything's been changed. All the books have been changed. All the evidence has been changed. All the education has been manufactured to lead us to a certain point. You know, the best thing we can do for the future would be to pull our kids out of this education system and teach them how to be human again. You know, teach them what it means to go out and farm the ground and feel the ground and develop real life skills. Sure, learn to read and write, whatever, but we don't need all of this other stuff. You know, the education system is such a trap. Even higher education is such a trap. They give you 3 years. They make you spend 3 years to learn something you could learn in 3 weeks. And they train you to only have one skill. Then you spend your whole lifetime getting this skill. People spend their whole lives getting education, higher education. They get to a point where they're 50 or 60 years old before they really finish school. And then what do they do with it? They've got all this knowledge in their head, which is all secondhand anyway. How many of it is related to life skills? How many of it is related to being a human being? How much of it is there to improve the human condition? And how much of it was simply a distraction to get you thinking about this stuff and not really thinking about the environment and the surroundings that you're living in and not thinking about where the world's going and just to get you to accept all of this technological slavery system that is being rolled out over the top of us? You know, it's all being superimposed over human consciousness, and it's all part of this same spiritual battle, ladies and gentlemen. Now, perhaps in all of this, that's been one of the most frustrating things. Seeing what the solution is and noticing just how unwilling people are to adopt that solution. People want salvation to come from an external source. They want some government agent to come along and save them. They want some movement. They want some new political party. They want something. They want Christ to come. They want something to happen to change the world that is going to change it without them having to participate, because they believe the participation that will be required from them will be violent participation or something that they actually have to go out and do. They don't realize that it's just a simple shift in perspective. That's all the participation that is required. You know, it's to realize what you are and to see the value of people. And that may sound like a really strange little airy New Age thing to say, but if you can really step back and look at it on the macro scale, the ripples that would cause would change the world, because we are the ones that are propelling the system. As I've said so many times, even with the smart grid, everything that's happening, the IoT, 5G, all this stuff, you know, the stuff that Tom Wheeler was saying, when you're saying everything from pill bottles to plant waters and there's billions of dollars involved, that's the whole key there, folks, the billions of dollars involved because of what the consumers will buy. And you just got to ask yourself, are you a human being or are you a consumer? You know, because if we don't buy the stuff and we don't use the tech, then the system won't roll out. That's how come we are bringing about this whole slavery system ourselves. And that's why it doesn't matter if there's a new political party or a new movement or whatever, because it's the tech itself that is the problem. As I've mentioned a few times, I think, there was a show I did about a year or perhaps 2 years ago called Giving Life to Lucifer. And I'm not a religious person, ladies and gentlemen, but when I look at what the system is, the AI system is, I started really analyzing where it was going, what the quest for knowledge does to us. And sure, there's nothing wrong with knowledge, but it's the mere action of wanting to know how everything works. Since we don't need to know how they work, I mean, we don't need to know what forms a rock. We don't need to know how old a tree is. We don't need to know how the tree grows. You know, and when we get to a point where we're destroying these things to find out how they work, well, that's not real knowledge. We've left the path of wisdom. You know, when you chop a tree down to measure the rings to find out how old it is, you've lost the tree and you've left the path of wisdom. The analogy that I've used before is that you don't tear a kitten to pieces in order to love it. You know, as soon as we started to do this to the earth, as soon as we started to pull the earth apart and tear it to pieces to find out how it worked, we ceased to love it, and we left the path of wisdom. And that's what we've done, and that path that we're on, that path to wanting to know the nitty-gritty about how everything works, rather than realizing that this is a spiritual journey that we're on here. It's not a journey of science. It's not a journey where we need to know everything about everything. What we need to know everything about really is ourselves. And we don't know that. You know, we're trying to find out everything about everything else. We don't even know ourselves yet. So perhaps we should start there, because that's what this journey is. And the point is that once we leave that path, we want to find out all about the external stuff. We stop looking within. We don't ever make those discoveries, and we've left the path of wisdom. And when we start on that quest and begin looking for the answers in external sources and start seeing knowledge and intellect as being something superior to spirituality, AI being something superior to humanity, then we come to the inevitable conclusion of the world that we're in today. And we get to a point where we hand all of our power over to the AI system, and it willingly takes all of our power and our life skills and our knowledge from us. And we get discarded in the process. And this is the path that we're on through this ever-increasing need to know everything about everything. Just knowing how things work, you know, pulling a rock to pieces to find out what it's made from rather than seeing it as a beautiful stone that we could appreciate. Pulling everything apart to see how it works. Once you start doing that, you get led to a point that we're in now. And I think this has happened before. I think it's a cyclic thing. Something seems to happen to human consciousness, and we get into this ego-driven quest to want to be the most intellectual or the most knowledgeable about whatever. And we forget about ourselves. We lose track of ourselves. We lose track of the human experience. We lose track of the people around us. And that's what's propelling this whole thing. I mean, we can blame the governments all we want, and sure, they're doing bad things. The banking system's doing bad things. There's a lot of people doing a lot of bad things. But ultimately, we are the ones that is propelling the entire system, because we are the ones that it gets the energy from. Without us, it can be no system. You know, without our participation, none of this could happen. Without our belief in authority, without our belief in this meme and our support of this meme, which is all it is. Yeah, the whole concept of authority, the whole concept of what this society and civilization is just a meme. It's just an idea that's handed down to us through the education system, through the doctrines that are taught to us by our parents because of the doctrines that were taught to them, all of the experience that is handed down through everybody else's programming that came before them. Now, that's the problem that we face, folks, but ultimately the whole thing is just an idea. And that's why when I come onto these shows and I point out all this stuff and all these things where we're going, I mean, I must sound pretty negative sometimes, but to me it's empowering to know this information, because perhaps if people see it, they will see how it is their participation in it that is creating it, and how easy it would be to stop this happening if people really decided to just take a little bit of responsibility for themselves. And really, taking that responsibility, it's not even responsibility. It's just knowing who and what you are. And as I said, once you really get that and you really begin to comprehend who and what you are, respect for others comes by default. You don't need to go and attack people. You don't need to go and troll people. You don't need to have arguments with people. You can have discussions with people, which, again, coming back to Christchurch, is what I was trying to do with Christchurch. But people simply aren't open to discussion. They want you to agree with them 100% on everything. Don't think about anything outside my little box. And if you do, you're the enemy. And that's an unfortunate thing, folks. And we need to get that programming out of people. And we need to get some open discussion happening and some freedom happening, because we're in a real crucial moment of history, I think, ladies and gentlemen. We're at a real turning point, and it would be great if we could get some focus. And it's going to be kind of scary if we don't. But anyway, I digress. And well, we've reached that time again, ladies and gentlemen. It's now the end of the show. As I said, my channel has really been getting hammered lately. I've been getting an inordinate amount of trolling, plus I've had the strike put against my channel. I got blocked from uploading for 2 weeks. I've received numerous reports of people being unable to download my podcasts. I've had my channel being watched, and I've had people viewing my videos before they go live. I've had my channel shadow banned on a lot of places, and a lot of people have been reporting problems, as I mentioned earlier. So censorship seems to be really lifting up and going through the roof in all aspects. And not just with me, it seems to be happening with a lot of people. David Icke's movie was supposed to premiere in Los Angeles this week. I believe they stopped that from showing as well with 2 hours' notice. So that's another form of censorship, folks. But it's certainly hitting YouTube very drastically as well. Like, as I said, my channel has been getting an inordinate amount of problems. I'm even having trouble accessing my channel myself. It just won't load. I have to go in through various ways. I can click on a video clip and click my channel from there and get to my channel, but I can't use the normal menus. They just won't load for me, which is kind of interesting as well. So as I said, folks, censorship is really ramping out. I've been attempting to move to other platforms as well, but it seems that censorship is already in place in many of these places. I tried to sign up for an account on 153 News. I thought that might be a good thing. They had a good mention on their website about how they're against censorship. I signed up for the account, and then I received an email that the account was active. And then I received another email 2 minutes later saying they'd deleted the account and asking if I was the real Max Egan. I replied saying I was the real Max Egan. Could I please have the account? And I never heard back from them. So it seems I was censored on 153 News before I even got the account open. So I assume that they just don't want me to be posting on 153 News as well. So it would seem that perhaps they're not so against censorship after all. Interesting. But that's the way it's been, folks. I certainly have been getting a lot of flack lately since my reporting on Christchurch, and it doesn't surprise me because it was quite an important issue that I revealed on that video, the fact that we have that number plate of that car, the fact that the men in red can be seen within the compound while the shooter is shooting. All these things are quite important, and these are the reasons the video has been banned, folks. So it stands to reason that I would be getting so much flack from so many areas and so many trolls attacking my channel, because they really don't want this information getting out. They desperately want people to be buying into the concept that it's all hoax and nobody died and all this sort of stuff, because that way they can push their fake news meme. I would even wonder if that's why they let my channel grow so big so quickly, because they had all of this on the horizon. They just expected everybody to go with it. I think they might have been quite disturbed when there are a few people out here who decided that they would think freely and form their own opinions. And the powers that believe they be really don't like that sort of stuff happening. But anyway, we're very close to the end of the show here, folks, so I'm going to have to leave it there. But now, but look, thank you to all the people who've sent me so many kind emails through all of this, and so many people who've supported me and sent me positive responses through all this as well. It's been really gratifying to see. Thank you again to all the people who came to the gig in Brisbane. There may be another gig that I'm doing in Brisbane on May 17th. I haven't confirmed that yet, but there is a possibility. And also another event that will be happening on the Gold Coast later in August. So I'll keep you posted on all of those things as well. But again, thank you to all the people who send me so many kind words. Thank you to all the subscribers of the channel. Thank you to all my Patreon supporters. I could not do any of this were it not for you. And I'll keep you posted on the events that are coming up, but I'm still getting the details together myself, so I don't really know too much about it at the moment. I just believe that there are some things that are being organized, so I will keep you posted on that. But that is it for me, folks. I've completely run out of time. I look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In luck, Keshe.